Just finish up these few lessons. So we're up to, on your list there, number 11, having a normal church life. So in this lesson, we can pretty much cover these four points in having a normal church life. Of course, we certainly want our young people to have a normal church life. And I think Timothy's word at the end of this past session was very important. For us to deal with the world, really a normal church life helps you an awful lot. Because you're in the proper environment and you're not always, you know, practicing or doing the things that you would normally do if you don't have the church life or the church meetings. So it's very important to have a normal church life. And in this lesson, there are these four points. The first one being very crucial, and that is companionships. For our young people, a very important point is companions. And this is another, we brothers, as we were praying before the meeting this morning, we brought this point out. You know, we've been having the summer school here regionally. So the young people from Massachusetts, from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and, you know, all the young people from this Northeast region are able to come together. And every year they can come together. For young people's conferences, they can come together. We have the college training here together. It helps to build companionships. There are young people who may be in a locality. Some of you, I know, who are here, grew up in a locality. There were no other young people your age there. And yet, when you came to a conference or to the summer school, there were plenty of young people your age. So you could develop and build up companionships with others. And now with the ease of communication, it's easy to stay in touch with people and, you know, to talk to each other, see each other, and even you can FaceTime or whatever. So there's more of an opportunity to continue and build these companionships. But companionships are very, very important. When I came into the church life, I lived alone in an apartment. I remember praying, Lord, I really want a brother to live with me so I don't have to be alone, you know. And the Lord gave me a brother who's now serving in New Jersey. But I had a roommate for quite a while, and then I had another roommate after that. And so there was an opportunity to, you know, to be built up with some brothers in a practical way. We had a small brother's house, just two in the apartment. But anyway, it was a way to develop the companionships. And I'm still close to these brothers. When you build these kinds of companionships, they are lifelong generally. Even if they are in another, you know, locality far away, still, when you see them, the Christ you've gained together doesn't go away. You're built together with them. There's something there of life. So this is very important. They need, the outline says, you know, partners, companions. The verse is 2 Timothy 2:22, right? But flee youthful lusts and pursue, right, with those. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we need companions. We call with those. We flee with those. And we also pursue with those. We have companions that strengthen us. And this is just a normal church life. You know, most Christians don't understand this phrase, church life. Because to them, church is just, you know, Sunday service. You just go to church, you know. But we have found something much more, much deeper and much more practical and something that is critical to us in our Christian life, and that is to have a life together. It's not just the meetings. It's outside the meetings. It's, you know, whenever you have some situation, you can call one another and pursue with one another. So companions is the first point. The second point is a normal church life should include the gospel. And actually, it must include the gospel. And our young people have a good opportunity to preach the gospel to their friends, to their classmates, even some to their relatives that may not know the Lord. And I would encourage them in this way. You know, there's that famous saying, preach the gospel sometimes using words when necessary, something like that, you know. What does that mean? That means your living is the gospel. Right. The way you live affects people. And this is very, very crucial. I come from a Southern Baptist background, and most of my relatives thought I had gone crazy and got into some cult or something. But my mother was quite good. Eventually, she said, hold on a minute. Look at their living. She was talking about Kathy and I. Look at their living, how they raise their kids and how they... And she really stood up for us, and it was quite encouraging. So the gospel is not just speaking verse, you know, trying to lead some... We do need to lead people to the Lord. That's good. But your living is the gospel. And so they should have a proper church life by having a proper living. And then they should also be burdened in praying for their friends and inviting their friends either to the meetings, or young people's events, gospel meetings. We have quite a number who have brought their high school, junior high friends to the Lord and to the church life by this kind of a gospel outreach. Not necessarily preaching to them, but living a proper life and inviting them to come and hear the word. So the gospel is a very important part of having a normal church life. Then having a normal church life includes feeding people. The young people are not too young to feed others. They can feed each other. They can feed their friends who maybe just got saved. They can minister life to serve the children, feed the children, feed the, you know, the middle schoolers, the younger ones. They can take care of their new ones by nourishing them, feeding them. This is a normal church life. We all need food, spiritually speaking. We all need food. So we should feed one another. We should take care of one another. And they can do this, and they can have, you know, was it, James, did you have this with, like, every Sunday night you had a Bible time with the brothers? Was that? Yeah, was that high school or college and on through? And when did that start? Middle school. So James, I remember, had this. They just had a weekly, you know, did you read a chapter? I don't know. Read a chapter together, you know, just to feed each other. I mean, I don't think you thought about, I got to feed the brothers. But, you know, by just doing that, having a Bible reading time, you were feeding each other. You were taking care of each other. And there was some food, because the Word of God is, there's milk in the Word, right? And it feeds them and it encourages them. So you had both the companionship and the feeding there. That was a very normal aspect of the church life. Then, of course, you know, we have this, you know, God-ordained ways, the gospel, and then feeding, and then perfecting. Well, I was thinking of this matter of perfecting in the way of serving. They should be serving in the church life. They're not too young to serve. They can serve in maintenance. They can serve in the children's meeting. You know, when we started Hall 1, we had high schoolers in the ushering, right, Ricky? I remember going there one time, and I walked up, and there was one of the high schoolers with a tie on, and he's at the door. Huh? Hall 2. In Hall 2 in Manhattan, they have the high schoolers serving with, you know, and I thought, wow, this is something here, you know. We didn't have that in Hall 1, but we had it in Hall 2. Anyway, they're not too young to serve. There's many ways to serve. In fact, even recently we've had, right, Joe and Roger, the brothers have brought the young people up here to serve on the camp and do a lot of marvelous, you know, things in building and doing. It's a great way. It's a normal church life to do these kinds of things, to serve together, and to be together. And when I first came into the church life, they just said, you're on maintenance. I didn't know what that was. So you're on maintenance, come Saturday morning. Okay. So I show up Saturday morning, and then the brothers got me mowing the lawn, painting Dunton House, and we just were on maintenance. And it was a good way to get to know the brothers. And it's not always in a meeting, but you know, you're there painting and you're talking and you're getting to know them. It's a great way to have a normal church life, is to serve together. And we hope that they could have some burden, you know. I know that Some of the brothers have testified when they came in, the brother said, "You're on nursery," in high school. There was no question. It's just, "You're on nursery." And so, okay, what do I do? You know, so you're with them. Get to know the older sisters and serve the kids. But anyway, they can serve in the church life. And in Hall 1 where I am, I think a lot of the young people do serve the children, especially with the guitars and playing for the singing time and so forth. It's very normal. It's very healthy. And this is a normal church life. And then, of course, besides, you know, preaching the gospel and feeding them and perfecting them to do what you do, we also have prophesying for the building up of the church. And this, I think, we're a little short in my district in Hall 1, but the young people can prophesy. You know, and whenever we have a conference and we give them some time, right, Israel, we say, okay, now high school is going to share. I mean, it's overflowing the riches of what they got in the Word. It's very, very good. But we need to help them to have a, this is not just after the conference. They can be in the Word during the week and can prophesy. So these are the 5 points. Companions, gospel, feeding, and serving. That's perfecting. And prophesying. Then we come to the 12th session title for the high schoolers. And as Ricky mentioned, it's the most important part is consecration. And we're including preserving our whole being for life, which happens when you have a proper consecration. So consecration is a very important aspect of this summer school. And I just want to read a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. So then, for the law of Christ, the love of Christ constrains us because we have judged this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised. So we need to be constrained by the Lord's love to no longer live to ourselves, but to live to him. This is consecration. The motive for consecration is love. The basis is God's purchase. Actually, we don't belong to ourselves anyway. God bought you, right? God paid the highest price for you. He died for you. Because of his death and shedding his blood, we are redeemed from our vain manner of life. We're purchased. We belong to God. But he doesn't force us to give ourselves to him. He wants us to voluntarily consecrate ourselves to him. So then the motive is love. Basis is purchase. There's no question. But the motive of consecration is love. And the meaning is to be a sacrifice. That's Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers, I beg you through the compassions of God to present yourselves a living sacrifice. Which is your most reasonable service? We should. We're purchased. And it's out of God's love. So we should give ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And the purpose is to be used by God. But for God to use us, he first has to work on us. He has to perfect us and prepare us to be useful. And that means consecration. It's very, I don't know, I've always found it very touching. God does not force himself on anybody. He won't force him. He purchased you. He owns you. He has the right to do whatever he wants. But he will only work on you. He will only, you know, use you if you voluntarily give yourself to him. He gave you a free will, and he honors it. So we have to consecrate ourselves voluntarily. And the result is in this lesson as well, that we are caused to cut off our relationships with matters, things, people, especially to abandon our future and wholly belong to God. If we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we don't have any hopes of whatever we thought our future should be. Our future now is to be used and to serve the Lord. So consecration is a very, very precious experience. And again, I think your testimony of consecration will go a long way in giving this lesson. When you share with them how the Lord touched you to give yourself to Him and how He's been faithful to take care of you, that really goes a long way. Now, in this lesson, we're also going to cover number 9 on preserving our whole being for life. And 1 Thessalonians 4:4 is one of the main verses that how one ought to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. This is to preserve our whole vessel for life. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is a big verse for this one, that our whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved complete until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to take care of our spirit, our soul, and our body. We need to preserve our whole vessel for the Lord's purpose. In God's salvation, our entire being is being saved. Not just our spirit, but even our soul is being transformed. And we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Eventually, our bodies will be glorified, right? And when He comes, our bodies will be glorified. So our whole being is being saved completely and perfectly. But we need to preserve our being for this experience, for us to experience God's full salvation. So in this lesson, it mentions that it talks about our spirit, conscience, fellowship, and intuition. So we need to keep our spirit living to preserve it. Another way to preserve our spirit is to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness. This is for 2 Corinthians 7:1. And then we need to deal with our conscience to stay living. So here's another opportunity to talk about the conscience and take care of our conscience, okay? So confessing our sins is a very important part of preserving our whole being for life. Then the last thing we want to cover is the kingdom reward. This is lesson 19. We mainly like to use Matthew chapter 25 for this lesson. This lesson does cover the statuses of Christ at His coming. I won't take much time on that, but He's coming as a thief, as a bridegroom to marry His bride, as a master to settle account with His slaves, as a judge to execute judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, and as a savior to accomplish God's full salvation. But how do we prepare? This is for the kingdom reward, for the second coming of Christ. It's by what you see in Matthew 25, the first half of which is the 10 virgins, 5 of which were wise and got oil for their vessel, preserved their, filled with the Spirit in their vessel. That's in their soul for the Lord's coming. So that when He came, they had the extra portion of oil in their, of the Spirit in their soul. That's by being transformed more. And the foolish ones did not have oil in their vessel, so they were not, and they did not enter into the wedding feast. So that's in the aspect of growing in life. We prepare for the Lord's coming by growing in life, by gaining more of the Spirit, preserving more of the Spirit in our human vessel, at the extra portion of oil. That also includes Ephesians 3, that allowing Christ to make His home in our hearts. This is also part of that, not just Matthew. It's not just oil in the vessel, that portion, but also Ephesians talks about that we would allow Him to make His home in our hearts. Then the second half of Matthew 25 is the talents that the Lord gave His servants. And then when He came, He asked them, you know, how did you do? The one who gained had 5 talents gained another 5. The one who had 3 gained another. And the one who had 1 buried his talent in the earth. And so the Lord said, foolish and slothful slave, So he would be cast out into the outer darkness, and there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So to enter into the kingdom and for the kingdom reward, we must be faithful in service. So these two things, we must be mature in life, we must grow in life, and secondly, we must be faithful in our service to the Lord. Whatever the Lord has given us, at least we all have one talent. Don't bury it. At least use that one talent. We may not think we have much. That doesn't matter. It's not the amount. It's what you do with what you have been given. So whatever the Lord has afforded you, we need to be faithful in service. Brothers and sisters, in my service, I have come across many dear Christians who really love the Lord, but they have no idea about these things. They don't know about the kingdom reward. They don't know how to prepare for the Lord's coming. They just think it's a matter of time, and then we're just going to be raptured. And you try to talk to them, and they just don't get it. And it's painful to me sometimes because I'm close to them, but we don't want our young people to be like that. We want to help them to prepare for the Lord's coming because there will be a reward. And we know that they want to be rewarded at the kingdom just like we do. So we need to help them to prepare for this. So that covers those lessons. I think the brothers want to share something.
I'd like to add a few supplemental words to a few of the lessons, starting with outline four. If you have the session titles, that page and the corresponding chapters, you'll see that outline four is on the first experience of life, regeneration. Our brother emphasize the definition. If I remember correctly, maybe it was the first time we covered it, second time we covered it, so this could have been in the 80s, could have been in the 90s, someone wrote a song on regeneration. Do anybody remember that? It gave the definition. See if you can call it up. Anyway, in addition to our created, original human life, man receives another life, right? The life of God, which is God himself, right? That's the full definition. I think that's what's in the book. So in addition... Okay, what I want to highlight is this phrase, in addition, which means that from the moment someone receives the Lord, you have two lives. I know that later, when is it? In the next section, you're going to tell them it's three lives. Yeah, okay, forget about that. When you're in number four, just be a number four, okay? Two lives. Why is this important? Because from that moment, we always have a choice. Which life are you going to live by? Which means you become a little Garden of Eden with two trees. And there's always a choice. What tree will you live by? What life will you live by? When we get older, things happen. And sometimes you see people that you were going on with, like, depart. Or you hear things happen. This happened to this brother. And sometimes it's the reaction is, oh, how could someone... No, I don't believe it. How could they, da-da-da? How? Because there was a choice. So don't be bothered. Don't be stumbled. Learn. Don't say, how could he? You better it's better be me. Oh, I better be careful. Because that person chose to live by the other life. Because no matter how old you are, no matter how much Christian experience you have, there's always a choice. Okay, so I'm just saying that. That might be a help to people. Not to be stumbled. Don't be stumbled. Learn. Learn to make the right choice. Okay. Number five, three lives and four laws. Three lives and four laws. This is probably the most complicated lesson we will present. Okay, it's the most complicated lesson. Brothers and sisters, sooner or later, I hope we all can just dive into and get this lesson. This lesson explains the Christian life. This lesson explains every failure that we've ever had in the Christian life. This lesson explains why we live in condemnation, in guilt. Why we have this feeling of, I can't make it. This lesson explains that. And then conversely, it's gospel. Because it's the pathway of victory. Because it's not a matter of doing, it's not a matter of trying, it's a matter of realm. Amen. Are you in the spirit or not in the spirit? When you're in the spirit, the law of life takes over. I have found that most saints still don't believe this. I gave a message on this Thanksgiving last year in Washington, D.C. I know, many saints just have... don't believe it, that it's that easy. This point makes the Christian life easy. I know. You may either you have the faith, amen, or you just don't have the faith yet. But the Christian, this is just, we talk about this, switch. Mm-hmm. Romans 8 talks about mindset on the spirit. That's one switch. Groaning in the spirit. That's another switch. There's many switches there. Just, I'm a child of God. Declaring is a switch. And you just go from the flesh to the spirit. And the spirit, law of spirit of life, overcomes sin. Okay, I'm not giving the message. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Number six. Okay, number six and number seven. Again, I say, to me, these are the most important lessons this time. Number six. The sense of life. The sense of life. You just imagine a middle schooler, 12 years old, a little sister in school with her friends on a Wednesday. And the Lord speaks to her in her spirit. Don't leave your gym shorts. You just have a feeling like your gym shorts are. Don't forget your gym shorts. That's the triune God. That's the triune God who's running the whole universe, his economy, but he has time to talk to her about her shorts. That's an amazing thing. And God does that through the sense of life. Just a little sense, like you're going to talk, don't forget, oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah. I remember one sister, shorts. She was at Bronx High School of Science. This was, you know, like back in the day that we say. This was probably in the late 80s. She gave this testimony that the Lord told her. The Lord told, I forget the exact thing. She had her gym shorts. And she was, you know, it's a long journey back home. I don't remember if the Lord told her to, like, put the gym shorts so that they hang out and they could, like, dry because maybe they were sweaty. Or the Lord told her to put them, something. It was something about the gym shorts. But she gave this testimony when we were talking about the anointing. And she said, she told us, she felt like the Lord was training her. She's like, you know, 15. But the Lord was training her how to know his presence, his speaking, by shorts. Don't you think that's a precious thing? I think this is a precious thing, that the triune God, yes, he's, oh, his economy everywhere, and he wants to dispense, but he has time to bother you about your attitude towards your coworker, or to remind you to buy eggs. Like you forgot, and you're driving, oh, that's right, yeah. You think you just remembered. You're a Christian. There's no just. You're a Christian. The Lord is inside you. He talks about all that. That's the sense of life. Now, that has nothing to do with sin. If it's sin, that would be the conscience. But actually, once you cover the points, you don't have to figure out, is this fellowship? Is this conscience? Is this intuition? Yeah, that you just follow. Malachi says, take heed to your spirit. That's the point. Pay attention to those little feelings. In 1 Kings, it has this phrase, 1 Kings 19:12, a gentle, quiet voice. Right? There's the earthquake, the Lord's not in the earthquake. There's the wind, the Lord's not in the wind. There's a fire, the Lord's not in the fire. Then there was a gentle, quiet voice. That's our recovery version. The King James says, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. And that word still, in the Hebrew, has the sense of whisper. Isn't how the Lord speaks to us? It's like a whisper. Like what? Like you don't like get it. Rarely is there like a, ooh, you know, Solomon, you know, yes. And you're like, yes, Lord, you know. Even that's not normal. If that happens, tell Joe right away. You're hearing voices, brother. It's not like that. But you have to explain this to the junior hires. Because when we say, the Lord spoke to me, they're thinking, whoa. And they could think that, I never get that. No, you don't get that. But you get a little like, you know, pick up your socks. Can you imagine that the triune God cares for socks? Like, is the sock on the bed, on the counter, or in the dirty pile? Where's the sock? Why would God care for a sock? But he does. And how does he communicate that to you? That's not sin, unless your mom told you, pick up the sock. Now it's conscience. Now it's conscience, because you disobeyed. But it could just be you're going out and you see, and there's a little feeling, sock. And you're like, oh, mom will get that later. But can you imagine? The triune God has time. And he cares about your dirty sock. I think that's a precious thing. And if we can help them experience the Lord like this, you're putting them on a pathway of life. That the Lord is involved in everything. Amen. And that's what it is. But they don't know that yet. They don't know that. So we want to open their eyes and awaken the sensitivity to that little sense. It's so difficult to discern. That's why our brother said, sometimes the sense of life is not so easy. The sense of death, you're bored, right? You're dry, you're angry, you're you know, dissatisfied. Then I need the Lord. But with anything and everything, he's involved with us. That's the door we want to open to them, so that they can have many, many experiences. This is enriched by the Bible. The more they read the Bible, the more they read the ministry, the more messages they hear, whether it's our messages or audio messages or, you know, online or whatever it is. They listen to conferences, whatever. Those things are getting into them, into their heart. And then the Spirit, at a certain time, can bring it up and remind them of what's in them. That's the Lord speaking. John 14, 27 says that when the Spirit of reality comes, one function that he has is to remind us of the things that the Lord told us. Now, it's remind. So that means it has to get into your mind initially, else the Spirit cannot speak to you. Or the Spirit speaks to you, but you don't understand. It's like you never learned that language. So if I speak to you in Spanish or Portuguese or Greek, you never learned those languages, I'm communicating, but you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you learn even a few words, then when I say those words, okay, so the more of the Bible spiritual language is in you, the richer the Spirit speaking will be to you. But the Spirit, I mean, the triune God comes to us in fellowship through the sense of life without our asking for it sometimes, with his initiation. That's the sense of life. I still remember one time I went to a party. Oh, I tried to have morning time with the Lord, morning time. And, you know, morning time is morning time. And, yes, we always want to, my burden, a big burden I have, and to uplift the quality of the times with the Lord. Yes, okay. But still, morning time is just morning time. Sometimes it's just what it is. There's no, okay. And so you have experiences, and you just have the time. It's okay. Then I remember I went to this party. It was a Friday night. I went to the meeting. You know, we used to have the Friday night meetings at Hall 1. I went to the meeting. Then I came out, and I looked around to see if anybody would realize I'm not going this way. This way is home. I was going elsewhere. And very interesting, already I was like, checking out, okay? I went to the party, got there, and as soon as I went in, I had this feeling inside. What are you doing here? And I had this like realization. Now, you make your presence clear now. Every morning for the whole week, I've been praying. I don't sense your presence this strongly. Now, you give me this. I think I must have said something. Because somebody said, what? You know what I mean? Somebody said, what? I said, nothing. And I just start deliberating with the Lord. So what are you doing here? I said, Lord, I'll leave, but I can't leave right away. I just got here. That really looks stupid. Because my friends would ask me time, time, and time. Always I had an excuse. Always I had an excuse. No, meetings. I got my own people. I got my own community. I got da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Then they told me, come after your meeting. And I'm like, I didn't have an answer. So, and they were like, no, they... And, you know, our friends are our friends. It's not like they're saying, come, I want to drag you to hell. It's not like that. They just like you, and they want to be with you. And I had a feeling, you know, let me do it once. Yeah, I did it once. Inside, what are you doing here? I was just had a clear feeling. You know you're not supposed to be here. And I'm like, I know that I know, but I wanted to come. I wanted to be bad once. And so I'm there with the Lord. I even went there. And the girl that she was hosting the party, she said, this is not your table. All the liquor was here. This is not your table. Your table's over there. There was no liquor. It was just soda. So I thought like, hey, I have a testimony. Like, you know, like, amen, Lord, look, come on. It's a soda. But inside... The Lord makes himself real through the sense of life. They have these experiences. call them up in them. Maybe you have these experiences. Mention them so that they, and then for especially the group discussion, the group meetings, that's the time to come with testimonies. Brother, I appreciated what you shared. Before. I don't have the teacher's training book. That fellowship in the teacher's training began to affect not just summer school, but my week-to-week service. And that's what I hope it does for everybody. Mm-hmm. That we need this kind of preparation for all our meetings. Actually, we should have this kind of preparation for prophesying on the Lord's Day. We should have this kind of preparation for a small group meeting. If we do, I tell you, the riches in the meeting will rise. I don't mean turn everything into a testimony meeting, but to have something of the word supported by a brief testimony with not that many details, so that it won't be too long, and so that people won't remember just your testimony and forget your point. Don't do that either. So, but we need more preparation, better preparation, just for our meetings to go on. And I would make a determination. I will never share anything merely doctrinal. Not with the kids. I just will not. Lord, you have to give me an experience. And if you don't have one, you're serving together with others. Say, saints, I don't know what to say tomorrow. I don't have an experience to share with them. Do you have experiences? Can I borrow your experience to share something with them? Or a testimony that I heard? There has to be something. We have to make a determination. Never again will I merely give a spiritual point of doctrine without experience when I serve with the young people. I hope we have that. Then, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough. The last one on the kingdom. The point here, saints, actually in the book, there's only one paragraph. And in the book, that lesson 19 has 3 points. What's the title? It's a much longer title than the kingdom. It says 19. Reigning in life, the kingdom reward, and the new Jerusalem. That's so much for one lesson. We're picking just the kingdom reward. Okay. Lesson 2 is on the growth. Lesson 13 is on the incentive for the growth. God, in his wisdom, established a reward and discipline. There is reward. That's what we're emphasizing. But if you don't grow in time, you miss out on something. That's the discipline. So the kingdom reward is to inspire us to grow faster. Grow faster. Okay, brothers, please.
Well, saints, you know, as our brothers have shared, we need much and thorough preparation. And Brother Shepherd and I will go over outlines, messages 3 and 4 in the booklet as a kind of a conclusion to this teacher's training. And saints, I just want to kind of say at the beginning that one thing that kind of was something that touched me throughout the day is something in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy this in verse 6 in 1 Timothy 4, if you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. You know, and Paul here is encouraging Timothy to be a good minister, but he doesn't directly go to the teaching. Be a good teacher. He says, being nourished with the words of the faith. Mm-hmm. In other words, Timothy himself first needed to be nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching. And actually, there's a footnote there that says, to minister Christ to others requires that first we ourselves be nourished with the words of life concerning Christ. And then later on in verse 16, Paul says, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Very interesting again, right? Paul doesn't tell Timothy, first take heed to your teaching. He says, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. And who does the teaching save? Paul doesn't say the teaching will save others first. He says, the teaching will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. So we want all the words from all the, you know, the outlines, the lesson book, from the textbook of the Bible, we want all these things to nourish us first, to benefit us first. Then we have something to give to others. So I was touched that this is a teacher's training. This is training us. Amen. You know, in a sense, we have to set our focus. This is for me. You know, this training is for us. Okay, so in the third outline here, practical helps for conducting the small group sessions. So in my section, I'll use the next 10 to 15 minutes or so just to go over this outline before I hand it over to our brother. And really, the key word in this outline, saints, I'd like to highlight is the word prayer. The word prayer. Saints, we cannot serve without prayer. You know, to understand some points in these outlines or even throughout the years, you know, to understand messages, many times all it takes is really a trained mind, a trained mind. If you have a trained, you know, the young people at school, they are reading, some of the young people, they're reading material far more difficult to understand than these outlines. You understand that, right? And so our helping them is not helping them to understand the points. Actually, some of them, they might read it the first time and they will understand everything. Our help to them is to get them into the reality. Amen. It's to get them to contact the Lord. It's to have an impact in their living. And all of that doesn't happen without prayer. Without prayer. Okay, so Romans 1 says, before the summer school of truth begins and before every session of the summer school of truth, we have to pray very much for this crucial time. Then in A, it talks about we have to go to the Lord in prayer every day. We need to pray thoroughly for the summer school of truth, for the young people, the serving saints, the lessons, the groups. Anyway, there are a lot of things there that we can pray for. Then B says, when we come together, we should also pray for our being blended together. It talks about we can pray for the release of the word and the understanding of the young people and even for the oneness of all the serving ones. And then C says, obtain a list of the names of the young people that you will be serving with and begin to daily mention these names before God. And on all these verses, saints, those verse references, Paul there says that he makes mention of them in his prayers. You know, as busy as Paul was, Paul mentioned the Romans in his prayer. He mentioned the Ephesians. He mentioned the Thessalonians. And he didn't just talk about saints generally. He didn't just say, Lord, I pray for the young people in my locality. Lord, I pray for the young people in my group. In Philemon, he actually tells Philemon that I make mention of you in my prayers. We can pray for not only the young people generally, but even pray for the young people specifically. A few months ago, there were a group of serving saints. We had a local citywide Serving Ones fellowship. And one thing I was really touched with in that fellowship was actually this matter of prayer. And one thing the brother shared in that fellowship was he kind of asked this rhetorical question. He said, you know, I just don't understand how you can expect the Lord to bless anything if you don't pray. For some reason, that just really struck me. How did I expect the Lord to bless anything without prayer? And, you know, saints, when we pray, that's a sign that we realize we can't do anything, that we take the Lord as our source. So prayerlessness is a sign of self-confidence. But when we pray, that means we realize actually the condition of the young people, their hearts, the word that's being spoken, none of it at the end of the day really depends on us. It depends on the Lord. Of course, we have to do our part, but we have to pray so that the Lord can bless. He is the source of everything that we do. And obtaining the list, I think locally we should all have lists, and if we don't, we can ask the serving one serving in our area, and you know, we should have the list of the names of the young people to pray for them, even to mention them one by one in our prayer. Roman numeral 2, before the Summer School of Truth begins and before every session of the Summer School of Truth, we need a lot of personal preparation. So these points under, actually maybe I'll read them because this is a point that's been really emphasized this weekend. Read carefully through all the lessons that we will be covering from the lesson book to become familiar with the lessons and burdens of each session, as well as any supplementary outlines. Okay, and these next two points, very important. In your reading, what should we do?
Pray much
over this material to see what kind of burden the Lord will give you concerning these crucial truths and the experiences of life. You know, saints, I've had this experience where I come to something, and I think, by looking at it, I'm like, oh, I think this is really the burden. It's just in my mind. Or I look at something, and I'm like, you know, I know the young people has been dealing with this, so this must be where the Lord wants to speak. But then, as I'm praying in my preparation, eventually the burden is elsewhere in the lesson or outline, right? We should never assume. We have to pray much. 2, in your reading, ask the Lord to impress you on how to convert every point from doctrine to experience and how to lead the young people into the experience of these lessons. You know, we've been recommending this book, Teacher's Training, and at the last in the last page of this book, starting with the second to last page, anyway, mainly in the last page, Brother Lee actually recommends some prayers, or is, I guess kind of a view, questions that we can ask to help us to experience the points. This is what he says. I believe that teaching in the Summer School of Truth will be a good opportunity for you to learn something. If you try to convert every point in the lessons into experience, you yourself will be helped. You may realize that you do not know how to convert doctrine into experience. That's me. Because you are lacking in experience. Yep. This will expose you, and then you will know where you are. You will see that you may know many things as doctrines, but you do not know them in experience. Then as you are preparing a lesson, you may begin to check yourself regarding your experience. Point by point, you may ask yourself, okay, now here are 4 questions, very important. You may begin to ask yourself, 1, do I have the experience of this matter? Do you have the experience? 2, is my experience of this point adequate? Not just if we have an experience, do we have adequate experience? 3, am I able to teach others about this point in an experiential way? I'm sorry, that's only... 1, 2, 3 questions. Am I able to teach others about this point in an experiential way? So saints, 1, do we have the experience? Come to a point. Maybe you do have the experience, but maybe, because the Lord touched me about this, maybe our experience is not very fresh. And you know in the Old Testament, what happens to old manna? It breeds worms. And so maybe the Lord will touch us. You have experience, but your experience was from 10 years ago. Now, if we're trying to share an experience from when we were a high schooler or a middle schooler to be relatable, that's understandable, right? But if we're sharing about something because that's the only experience we have, I hope we would go to the Lord and say, Lord, my experience is not adequate. It's not fresh. I'm giving manna with worms to the young people. So, Lord, give me an experience this week at work or something, you know, give me the adequate experience. And then not just give me the experience, Lord, help me to teach others about this point in an experiential way with the saints. You may conclude, then he finishes, you may conclude that your experience is not even adequate for a testimony, much less for teaching a class of young people. So this may cause you to pray, Lord, have mercy upon me. I need some experience of this matter. This is the way to prepare yourself to teach every lesson. Okay. And then in B, it says, it would be very useful if we can obtain the group assignments prior to the truth school so they can have some preparation. Okay. So actually, we're going to open the registration form for the Summer School of Truth very soon. And we'd like to encourage and ask that the serving ones especially, that all of us, we register as soon as possible. Because a lot of our grouping assignments, a lot of it hinges on the serving ones that are available to attend. So if you can sign up a little bit earlier, then we can get the group started, and then we can do what? You can get the group assignments beforehand, and we can begin to pray for the young people in our groups, and we can pray together. Okay, Roman numeral 3. Let's read this one all together. First group session, build an atmosphere that is full of love, encouraging, positive, mutual, and age-appropriate. We talked about shepherding the young people with prayer. Here, the key word is love. We shepherd our young people with love. Well, what about love? A says we all need to have the loving and forgiving heart of the Father God and the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ. I want to bring our attention to points 1 and 3. Do not classify people, because no one can tell what they will become. 3, we should give the young people the feeling that we are their good friend, that we sympathize with them, and that we are interested in them and in their affairs. Please note, it does not say we are interested in their interest in the lesson. We are interested in them and in their affairs. You know, we recommended this little booklet, right? How to Lead the Young People. And the little promo that we did earlier was that this is one of the, you know, most outstanding ministry, really, on shepherding, not only the young people, I would say even anyone in general. And, you know, at the end of this, what the latter half of this little booklet, and again, it's only a dollar, right? And in the latter half of this booklet, the brother actually gives us 6 points on how to shepherd the young people. And I just want to kind of go through these 6 points in a very brief way. So you have, I suppose, a little more encouragement, motivation to get into this. He says, 1, have an interest in the young people. Have an interest. You know, many times the young people, when they first join the lessons or we first talk to them, they're really not interested in the lesson. And you have to show interest in what their interest is in first before they will be interested in you. Actually, you know, with my work, I remember 1 year at training at work, one of the presentations, it says something like this. We were talking about managing client relationships. And I remember so this is not the ministry, okay? I'm just telling you, this is from work training. But it was very helpful for my shepherding. It said, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care. And saints, we have to show an interest in the young people and in their affairs. And if you read this, Brother Lee gives some very, very good examples. 2 is contact. We take advantage of opportunities to have contact with the young people. Okay, I'll say a little bit more about that later. 3, emphasizing practicality instead of stressing doctrines. And we've talked a lot about that. 4, very important, having a positive faith in the young people. One of the guiding principles through our shepherding is actually in 1 Corinthians 13. There it talks about what love is. And this, especially in recent years, this has touched me a lot, which says, one of the phrases, it says, love hopes all things. And one day the Lord showed me that that's the way you should look at the young people. If you really love them, you can hope all things. You know, just because they're a little bit naughty now doesn't mean that the Lord won't use them. You know, Moses, he struck an Egyptian and he killed him. If you saw a young person in a meeting and they just, I don't know, I guess struck Moriah in the meeting, and another young person, you'd probably be like, that young person, real troublemaker. You don't know if the Lord will use that kind of fire in them and one day to do something to lead God's people. You don't know. We don't know. And then what about the quiet ones? I think one of the serving ones came to me. I told them I was in New York between 1995 and 1998. They said, really? Are you sure you're in New York? I said, you wouldn't notice me because I was always quiet. Saints, we just don't know. We just don't. The Lord can use anyone. The naughty ones, the quiet ones, the ones that seem good, they might not be actually doing so well. their testimonies, actually very sad testimonies in that area, which I won't say. We should have a positive faith for every young person. Number five, adapt to young people like glue. Adapt to young people like glue. I want to say something about adapting. You know, sometimes in the groups, especially in the beginning, maybe not even the beginning, but just I think maybe for many of us, this has been our experience. You know how sometimes you're with the young people, and maybe you're reading a chapter in the Bible, or you're reading something, and after you read it, you ask the young person, what did you get? What impressed you? And the thing they share is nothing you would ever think of. It's like in the verse that's not the main point, not the crucial point. Well, what do you do with that? Are we able to adapt to the young people? You know, if we're in a group setting and all the young people are very impressed with one point, but your feeling is just, no, I need them to get the other point. Brothers and sisters, I would just say I think we need to seek the Lord on adapting to the young people. Because maybe the Lord is already speaking through them. You have an opening with them on one point, and we want to go to another point. So adapt to the young people. Number six, pay attention to personal contact. As much as all of the young people will be in the meetings at the Summer School of Truth, even this is our personal experience, we know that when we're just sitting, when we're just one of hundreds in a meeting, sometimes the sprinkler goes on, and some others really touch something from the message, but you feel like you didn't really, right? You've had this experience where you're like, I didn't really get anything from this. Well, brothers and sisters, personal contact can reach every young person, right? We shouldn't just think just because they're in the meeting, they got something. You know, they're feeling cared for. We have to do our best in the meal times, outside the group times, to have some personal contact with them. And then at the last page, it mentions, do not find their faults at first, otherwise we cannot help them. And the verses there are very good. We don't despise the little ones. Matthew 18:10, the Lord says, do not despise the little ones. Regardless of whether the young people are good or bad, this is point two, we need to treat everyone the same. We need to like them and be concerned for them. Roman numeral 4 talks about having a plan and a strategy. Saints, before we go into every group time, hopefully later, maybe Brother Shepherd could share a little about how important the group time is. We should have a little preparation. The serving ones gather together to have a plan for that group time. And a plan may look like our praying together before the group time. It may look like our knowing that one young person in the group has really not been responding, has been having a hard time, and finding a way to include him, to care for him outside the groups. It may look like realizing that maybe one brother has a very good experience on one point, and one sister has another good experience on one point, so not everyone needs to share on one point. You see, there can be some coordination for how the group time and the testimonies and so forth would go. Okay, so have some plan. And then point two says we need to allow some time for the young people to spend time with the Lord. I think, Shepherd, we will provide that, right? Right, this has been a major focus recently. We will allow the young people to have personal time with the Lord. Roman numeral 5, doing our best to stir up and maintain an atmosphere of prayer in our group. Without prayer, this is what will happen. Like it says in A, I have no doubt that as believers in Christ, you have received the eternal life and the divine spirit, but I am concerned that you will go to your group with ice water instead of a flame. Without prayer, wow, forget about helping them. We might even cool them down. Saints, we need to pray to fan the gift of God which is in us into flame. And then B, we need to stir up the praying spirit of the young people. Sometimes it's helpful to have a little prayer at the end of all the group times. Do not teach unless there is such an atmosphere in your group. Have an atmosphere of prayer. And then D, I hope there will be much prayer in your group in the Summer School of Truth. Adequate prayer will accomplish at least three things. Let's read those last three things together. It will impress the young people in an experiential way with the points of the lesson. It will stir up the praying spirit within them, and it will cause them to become living. May we pray much in our personal life, before the summer school, with the serving ones before the summer school, and then also during the summer school of truth. Amen. Now, Brother Shepherd will continue.
I think you could tell that we're speeding through these outlines because of time, but it's really worthwhile for us to review these two outlines before we start our summer school of the truth, especially in our small group session, which in the past, and I think it still holds true today, that we would say it's the most important aspect of the summer school of the truth. Sometimes we think, oh, it's the brothers speaking. But actually, it's the small group time where we have the opportunity, again, to highlight what we've been saying all day today, to turn what the Word, the Bible, the doctrine into experience, into these experiential impressions. There's only so much you could do up here, but within the group, that's really where that rubber meets the road. So this is why we do consider these small group times as the most important time. So all of us, we're serving in a small group. That means your role is actually most important, right? We really hope that we will all have this this realization. So in message forward, the last outline here, I'll just go through these points succinctly. The first one is very important, Roman numeral 6, to serve in a blended way. Amen. In what kind of way? A blended way. That means we lose all of our distinctions. And actually, this is the way that the Lord has shown us in our service, right? That we are members of the body. We're not all inclusive, right? And I might see something, but I might not see something, right? And my brother will bring it out, right, in the group time. It's just wonderful that we're members. The pinky, right, has a certain function, right, to meet a certain need. And sometimes we might realize in our group that that's not my portion, right? That's not my function, right? Maybe it might be that college student, right, that is serving alongside with us. He or she might have the ability, right, to reach this young person. So we need to recognize that, right? We need to see that we need the blending to lose our distinctions. Some of us are slow. Some of us are faster, right? We just need to have the blending with a harmonious coordination. And how does that come about? These two points: prayer and fellowship, right? We need to have prayer and fellowship throughout the week. And this is why I think our brother alluded to, we will have times where the serving ones in each group, and when I say serving ones, I also include the TAs, right? The college students that are with us, we consider them as serving ones. Right? Actually, we all should have that view. And then during the middle school week, we'll also have some what we designate as helpers. This is something that we're really hoping to strengthen, to have the high schoolers who are among us. You know, isn't it so good that we have now high schoolers who are burdened to serve? I mean, this is something that would help them. So we count them as not TAs, but helpers. But anyways, the point is we want to include all of these ones together to serve together in a blended and harmonious way. Right, and this is really so that we could have the one accord, right? In the Lord's recovery, we realize, right, the master key, right, is the one accord. Amen. Right, it is really the source of all the blessing. Amen. Right, maybe we misspeak in our little discussion with the young people, but if there is the one accord, actually the Lord has the ability to bless, right? But on the flip side, if you know we're not in harmony, and we're kind of disjointed, actually, the young people, they suffer. And they could tell, oh, Noah and I, we're not on the same wavelength there. You know, I want to do something, Noah wants to do something else. There can't be any kind of blessing. So like our brother mentioned, we really need to have the ample prayer and the fellowship throughout the week. Okay, point seven, your function during the group times. How about let's read this together. Let's change your to our. Our function. Our function during the group times. Amen. Is to facilitate. You need to circle and underline, highlight this word, facilitate. It is not to dominate. Actually, the group time is not the time to re-speak, right? All, you know, everything from the message, the outline, but rather it's to bring out the portion of especially the young people. And sometimes, well, these two things. One is sometimes you might need to sit through an awkward period of silence, right? Especially us serving ones, we can't stand silence, right? We just want, you know, to fill that time with something. So we jump in, right? But a lot of times, the more we speak, the more we quench, maybe, right? The participation of the younger ones. So one helpful, I wouldn't call it a trick, but a learning is that we should consider how to ask a certain question, right? To bring out maybe something, right? From the group. And you know, actually the Lord did that. In Luke 24, I was reminded, you know, we know the story, the two disciples, they were walking on the road. And the Lord came and you know, there was the sadness of their countenance, and the Lord just asked one question, right? What things? And that just opened them up, right? And then the two, they were just started, you know, kind of unloading everything that's on our heart. And then afterwards, then the Lord was able to explain to them, right, from the scriptures, everything concerning himself. And eventually, what? They realized, well, wasn't our heart burning, right, when the Lord was? Yeah, sometimes we just need to ask the correct question, right, to open them up, right, to help them to really enter into whatever we're trying to do in that session. And sometimes it might not even be, right, something that was from the message, but just a question that could just open them, right? And so this is a learning to help to facilitate in that way. I appreciate, actually, maybe I could just read this one verse. When I was considering this last night, the Lord reminded me, and this is also one of the verses from teacher's training. This is 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who would be competent to teach others also, right? So we know this is Paul writing to Timothy, right? So we have Paul, and he was writing to Timothy. But actually, in this verse, we see he didn't speak to him. In this verse, it says the things you heard from me through many witnesses. So there were these witnesses that Timothy heard from Paul. And this was then committed to faithful men who would be competent to teach others also. So I'll just write others, right? And so within every group, you can consider, actually, there are these layers, right? These different functions, the truths that we have among us, it's really a passing on, right? From one level or one layer to another. You know, even this morning, all of the things that we received, right? So much is from the ministry, so much is from Brother Lee, Brother Nee, has now been passed to us, but it's been passed to us not directly. You know, I was too young to be in the meetings with Brother Lee. But now there's brothers who've been passing it on to us. And now what are we doing? We are committing them to faithful men And I feel like this is really even part of our facilitating, right? Actually, I'm very burdened for this, that, you know, in the truth school, it's not just the young people that will receive the help, but it's the college students that are serving with us, right? It's even the high school helpers that are serving with us. You know, we commit these things to them so that they would be competent to teach what? The young people, the others. I would say this, for me, this was my experience. Actually, this is a big reason why I'm here today. Actually, a lot of people don't know this about me. I didn't have perfect attendance as a young person. It was spotty. Some years I only attended the conferences. But the Lord had mercy. I appreciate what our brother just shared. We need to have positive faith on all the young people. To me, I'm still making up Summer School of the Truth. I had to go to summer school for the Summer School of the Truth, if you understand what I mean. And so it wasn't until my high school year in high school and in college that, you know, the Lord really just showed something to me. And so I started serving the young people. I started coming to the Summer School of the Truth. And I just made up that time. And for me, it was really the brothers who instilled or imparted something to me so that I could serve others, right, to share with others. And I would have to testify, really, we get the best help, right, for this endeavor. We actually receive the benefit. And so I hope we could really see in the small group time, this is going on, right? This is really happening. And we hope that this will continue, right, as the years go on. So facilitate, don't dominate. Okay, Roman numeral 8, the serving ones are touched by the Lord's word and the messages. Then the young people can also be touched. Testify what touched you. And then there's a warning here. Do not preach to them, right? And do not, what, exhort or rebuke them, right? Definitely do not rebuke them. We need to, again, have a lot of faith in what the Lord can do and always to approach things from the positive sense. Okay, Roman numeral 9, we must learn how to teach in an experiential way. Again, hopefully by now this is our impression. We need to convert every point in the lesson from doctrine into experience. After making such a conversion during our time of preparation, we should then speak to the young people about each point in the way of experience. And the verse reference here is 1 Thessalonians 2. I think we know that this is Paul speaking to the young believers. And he uses these two descriptions, exhorting father and nursing mother, right? I appreciate these two descriptions very much because the nursing mother is what? Gentle. We need to learn how to be gentle among them, right? In their midst. Not to scare them off, right? But to know how to cherish, right? Cherish her own children. It's just like, you know, a little baby not wanting to eat, right? Or not hungry or distracted. We need to learn how to, what? You know, play a little game with them. Actually, in this book, Brother Lee talks about playing ball with the young people, right? If that's kind of where they're at, we need to learn. And actually, he says this, that after you play ball, then you could speak to them. Then you could help them. But if you're not able to, this is what he says, then your spirituality is false. Wow, how about that? When I read that for the first time, I was like, oh, Lord, right? Teach me how to be among your people, right? How to go alongside of them, how to adapt to them, right? How to play ball with them. And during the Summer School of the Truth, actually, you know, we pay attention to recreation very much. And this is actually a very important service because this is an ability for us to get to know them and let them to get to know you, right? Sometimes the young people, they have certain concepts, especially I think of the older ones, right? I mean, they look at the younger ones, you know, you guys are still cool, you know, you still are relatable, but I think the older we get, the more distance, right, there is. For me now, this actually happened last year. Now I'm seeing the children of the young people that I grew up with. They're coming to summer school of the truth, right? And so I realize, okay, my distance is now at this point, right? So they view me as what? Parents' age, right? And so what do we need? We need to make an extra effort, right, to come alongside of them, right, to shepherd them, right? So much shepherding can take place during the week of the summer school. And so, anyways, we really need to have this genuine capacity or capability, right, to be Jesusly human with the young people. And so both in and outside of the meeting. So we need to, again, be a nursing mother and an exhorting father to have the opportunities to turn the points into experience. Maybe I could mention this. A lot of times, even in recreation, you have opportunities, especially we're covering this matter of life, actually to bring out different experiences of life, right? Especially maybe among the brothers, you know, we get a little too much, right, in the basketball or playing frisbee. And this has happened to me, before, I think all of us, right? And then, you know, something touches at me, you know. Okay, I think I was a little too rough on Mariah, right, guarding him. And so what do I do? You know, I need to apologize. The Lord just touches me. Yeah. Mariah, sorry, you know, I think I was a little too much, right, on the frisbee field. And so this, actually, if we could share this, right, to the young people, they realize, yeah, this is not just doctrine. It's not just theory. But life is a person, right? It's real. Okay. So I think just to point out point D, I think this wasn't mentioned yet, but this is a word of warning. If we do not teach properly, if we just merely impart doctrine, actually, what we will end up doing, actually, this is Brother Lee in teachers training, the knowledge they gain may damage them, right? So this is a warning. I really appreciated our brother's exhortation. We should determine not to speak doctrine, right? And not just to give them something so that what? They say, I know this already, right? I heard all about it in the summer school of the truth. And they're just content with mere knowledge. And this, in the long run, actually, they will suffer loss, right? But rather, again, not to give mere knowledge, but we need to teach them in an experiential way. So brothers and sisters, actually, I just feel so burdened that, you know, in the next 2 months, really, we feel this is a time of preparation. I think now we have all of the outlines in the back of our mind. You know, as we're just carrying about our day-to-day, normal church life, our time in the Word and the ministry, Lord might speak to us, you know, as we're just enjoying Him. We could write it down, you know, in a book. I've done this in the past, as I'm just in the ministry or in the Word, and the Lord just touches me, actually, you know, save this for the summer school, right, and either in a message or in a small group time. And so maybe this could be, right, in the back of our mind that, you know, we're desperate, right? Lord, I just want to come to the summer school of the truth with many, many experiences, right, of life, of the things of life that I could give to the young people. Okay, and then the last point here is our group times need a positive progression throughout the week. We need to be building from session to session until we reach the end. I just want to bring out point B. How about let's end with this point, reading it together. The group times need to go higher and higher throughout the week, progressing in content, richness, openness, and participation. And this is why we really encourage full-time participation, especially from the serving ones, because you'll see that every day builds upon itself, right, the previous days. And so the group atmosphere, I would say, in the beginning might seem a little cold, but we're praying for them, we're spending time with them, we're shepherding them, and then you're just building something. And then the atmosphere at the very end, actually, it's just a lot different. This is a progression. And so for the serving ones especially, I know it's hard to maybe stretch out, commit for full time the entire duration, but there really is the benefit, right, of us being with the young people for the entire time, because you are building a relationship, actually a lifelong relationship, and then if you add from 1 year to another, it really is lifelong. I know I've done this in the past. My wife also. Some of us, we stay with a certain level, you know. So maybe you serve them as a seventh grader, and then next year you serve them as an eighth grader. Then next year, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, I can't tell you the relationship that you form with these ones. Oh, there's really something special there. This is just something marvelous, something wonderful, right, that takes place during these 6 years of summer school, the truth. So we really hope that some of you can, I appreciate Brother said, you know, sign a contract. Maybe it's a six-year contract. You didn't realize this when you came to the teacher's training, but now we're asking you to sign a six-year contract. There's no signing bonus, but, you know, well, it is. It's in the heavens. But hope you can make the commitment, and actually you'll see after 6 years, there's something eternal, right, that took place between us and the young ones that we're caring for. And some of them actually are here and sitting in this room, and now we're co-laboring together. That's just wonderful.